With the fall grizzly bear hunt looming, new information is emerging on why anybody would want to kill a grizzly bear. My guest this afternoon is Chris Derrimount. He is the Raincoast Professor at UVic and Science Director for the Raincoast Conservation Foundation. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Pamela. Good afternoon.
Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Pleasure.
I think that many people out there might think that there isn't going to be a grizzly hunt this year since the new NDP government announced an end to it, but it is going ahead this year, isn't it?
That's right. There will be a fall hunt, is my understanding, but the spring hunt on the coast will be closed, and on the in the interior, there's a bizarre sort of flipping of the previous regulations, whereas before, hunters weren't obligated to bring any meat out of the bush, but they could bring trophy elements out of the bush. It will be the opposite in the interior from now on, or until it's changed, that the hunters cannot take the trophy elements, but have to take the meat. So things are changes in the air, put it that way.
Okay. I just want to clarify here. So in the interior, you can bring the innards of a grizzly bear out, but you can't bring that which is usually sought after.
Exactly. I think that's some political maneuvering by the new government to signal to hunters in the interior that they won't, as a government, interfere with what people believe is their right or maybe their privilege to hunt for food. So whereas hardly anyone believes that people will hunt grizzlies for meat, I think that's why the policy exists, just to signal that they need not worry about government coming after moose or elk or something next.
Do you think there's going to be a particular frenzy this season because it's about to end in terms of being able to hunt for trophy purposes?
Really good question. I think there may be a frenzy in terms of people thinking or saying or speaking among themselves that this is the last chance, at least on the coast. Thankfully, numerically, there won't be a frenzy because the lottery system and the guide outfitter sort of parallel system that guides foreign hunters, they're limited to a certain number of animals. So I don't predict any more grizzlies will be killed this fall. But I think you're right. There will be a certain, I don't want to say excitement, a certain, I think frenzy is a good word, actually.
What motivates grizzly bear hunters? Why do they want to do this?
Well, if we take a look at the literature and you know, even ask ourselves, you know, what do we think as members of society and just thinking, feeling people? And a lot of the answers point towards the idea that hunters are really interested in achieving something, and particularly for showcasing that achievement to others. That's been very important in our evolutionary history as men, anyways, and hunters. And I think the same can be true for any hunters, and particularly those going after carnivores like grizzly bears.
Do you think it's part of our instinct?
It is, and people sometimes will use that as a justification, saying this is natural, this is what, you know, we evolved to do, take down big prey and whether they admit it or not, show off this accomplishment. But that justification really doesn't hold weight these days. There's a lots of behaviors that are dark and violent and abusive, et cetera, that have a natural basis, but society has, over the years, said, you know, we'll no longer tolerate this sort of behavior. And that's generally why we're seeing this widespread change in public opinion about the grizzly bear hunt in BC. People just think, you know, this is no longer something that society is willing to tolerate.
BC Today listeners, what do you think of new research showing that a sense of achievement motivates trophy hunters to kill grizzly bears? 250-386-1161. Star 1070 on your cell phone. You can email us talk@cfax1070.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Chris, who would the hunters, the trophy hunters, who do they show their kill to? How do they display these? And who would be interested in looking at them, since they feel that they've achieved something? Mm-hmm. Where's the audience for this?
Good question. Well, one of the big audiences, of course, is online. So that was really the core of this study. It was led, by the way, by an alum of UVic, Alina Ebling-Schuld, who did her honors work that wound up in this peer-reviewed publication. So she scoured the internet. One really important place for hunters to essentially show off is online hunting forums, where they describe their experiences, their hunt stories. And it was 455 of these stories that Alina coded for their content, coded for what we call satisfactions. What sort of satisfactions did these hunters express in their hunting stories?
What kind did they express? I mean,
well, there's a conceptual framework for this in the literature, in the social sciences literature, and we can think of it as the three A's in shorthand. Number one is achievement, a feeling of performance. The second one is affiliation, being with friends and family. And the third one is appreciation, that is appreciating nature, the animals, so on and so forth. And scientists have for decades now believed that those three things are important for hunters. Why this study was new is that for the first time, to our knowledge, we asked how these satisfactions might vary across a whole bunch of different wildlife species, not just one. It's typically been just done with deer or elk, but a whole suite of species. And we asked in particular, how might this vary between ungulates, you know, deer, elk, moose, etc., and carnivores? And we found that achievement overwhelmingly, in a really pronounced way, is important for all hunters, but especially so when they target carnivores and kill carnivores like bears or wolves or cougars.
Okay, let's bring some BC Today listeners in. Sure. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. What do you think?
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Hi, just great. Thanks. Thanks for calling.
So, Pam, it's Mike calling. So I think one of the things that we're not touching on here is that trophy hunters is, I mean, we look at it as a bad thing when we talk about grizzly bears, but trophy hunting is in every species. So people hunt moose for trophies, but they bring home the meat, and they hunt deer for trophies, and they bring home the meat. And trophy hunters, of which I'm not, but I have friends that are, actually kill less animals per year than regular hunters. So myself, I'm entitled to shoot 2 black bear, 2 mule deer, and a moose every year. And, you know, not quite that successful all the time, but when I am, that's what I harvest. But, I mean, I'll harvest a young 2-point deer for the meat, where my friend will pass up that 2-point deer, waiting for a really nice, mature 4-point deer, and still eats the meat, actually more of it because it's bigger, and displays those antlers proudly. And I have antlers displayed in my home. You know, and same thing with grizzly bears, you know, or with black bears. If you know, you can bring home the trophies, whether, and, you know, have a rug made out of it and mount it on the wall, or have the, you know, the head of the skull treated and done, but you're still harvesting the meat. So one of the things that this is, it's not going to change anything. I mean, so the hunt for this year is already, like your guest has said, has already been drawn. So the number of tags that are out there are out there. Often people don't necessarily go fill them, but sometimes this year I'm certain that they're going to. The other thing we're going to see, though, is that, you know, grizzly bears pose a threat in the interior to livestock. And when they're not kept in check, the ranchers are going to take that on themselves, especially the ranchers that have been in these fire zones. I mean, already they've lost so much. You think that they're going to worry about one, you know, a cow or a calf being taken by a grizzly bear? They're going to shoot them on sight and say that they threaten my stock, and they're entitled to do so.
Mm, interesting stuff there, Mike. Thanks for calling. Hang on the line. Chris, your reaction, Mike's framing trophy hunting, and thanks, Mike. It sounds like, before we go on here, that you eat what you kill.
Everything. I eat bears.
So, and that's different from hunting a grizzly bear specifically just for a trophy. But I want Chris to weigh in here and get his thoughts.
Sure. No, Mike's quite right in acknowledging that there's significant overlap between people that hunt for trophy and meat. And it's more in the extreme, what I refer to or think about as sort of fringe hunting. It's that small subset of hunters that aren't hunting to feed their families. You know, and I'm thinking about grizzly bear trophy hunters in particular that are hunting to feed their egos, essentially, that the meat is left in the bush, and they take out heads head, hide, and pause. So it's those extreme examples that society is quite rightly, I think, interested in confronting. About Mike's comment about keeping predators in check, grizzly bears in check in the context of ranching, that's an age-old argument that for which there's very little evidence. And in fact, often when predators are removed in the context of conflict, whether it be ranching or human safety, we often find not a decrease in conflict, but actually an increase, because often what happens is you take out a resident predator and a more juvenile form, a younger individual predator, moves in, and it's those younger individuals that often find themselves in more trouble. So whereas it makes a nice talking point for people that like to kill predators, the evidence that, that killing predators significantly reduces conflict is not an argument that has a lot of evidence.
What do you think of new research showing that a sense of achievement motivates trophy hunters to kill grizzly bears? My guest this afternoon is Chris Derrimount. He is Raincoast Professor at UVic and Science Director for the Raincoast Conservation Foundation. Please join our conversation. You can call toll-free from Kelowna, 1-855-686-1161. In Victoria, 250-386-1161, star 1070 on your cell phone. You can email us, talk@cfax1070.com. You can also find us on Facebook. To the phones and Fred. Hi, Fred. Thanks for calling BC Today.
Hello. I am about your talk show. First of all, you know, I think it's important to bring out on the open that bears are what we call sentient beings, which means they feel psychological and physical pain just like us. I've seen a video clip of somebody on a trophy hunt. And in terms of sport, what a joke that is. We're talking about somebody that's paid for a guide to go in there to find these bears, using binoculars to find out where they are, then using a high-powered rifle with a scope and shooting from 1,000-plus yards away, wounding a bear. And I watched this bear roll down the hill with blood spurting out all over. This is not a sport. This is bloody torture.
Thanks, Fred. Chris Derrimount.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen that video. It was a viral video, I think, from Alaska. And that was horrific. And it's a reminder that, you know, any time when we take a life, it's serious. And that other vertebrates, be they grizzly bears or deer, for that matter, have the same sensory systems that we do. So we should consider that when we think about the rights or privileges of people to hunt. And generally, you know, if we were to read the pulse of British Columbia or anywhere in North America right now, most people think maybe that sort of suffering, if they acknowledge it, is justified if the hunter is interested in eating that meat and serving a really basic human need. And most people in BC consider that to be fair or justified.
But, right. Well, clearly what Fred's talking about in that awful video is, you know, big game hunters come to British Columbia, they hire guides. I don't know, is it 20 grand they pay to kill a grizzly bear?
Easily, yep.
And they don't take the meat out because they don't eat it, no. And they're doing it.
Right.
But thankfully, that's going to come to an end.
Exactly.
So this is good news, but it's an interesting piece of research, and that there's a sense of achievement, because a lot of people say, you know, what does motivate people to do this? Lots of calls here. Let's go to John. Hi, John. Thanks for calling BC Today.
This sounds more like an exercise in social engineering than anything else right now from this professor, because human beings have been hunters since day one. It's basically in our DNA. Mm. If we're not hunting grizzly bears, we're hunting for a job, a mate, we're hunting for a place to live, hunting for some food off the shelf. You know, we're hunters. That's what we are. And if some nut bar goes out and kills a grizzly badly, then, you know, the conservation branch should go after that guy and find him, you know, and prevent him from going back in again. Though it sounds like a law enforcement issue more than anything else to me.
Thanks, John. Chris.
I think law enforcement certainly has boundaries. I'm not sure what else to say to that statement, except maybe I'll return to, you know, it's in our DNA. A lot of things we evolved to do in our ancestral past, and we did. You know, men would often beat one another to death in very infrequently live beyond 30, and we no longer do that. Society has come to an understanding that we ought not treat each other that way. And in the same way, society has come into a realization that we probably shouldn't treat, grizzly bears, for this example, in that way, kill them for not for our basic needs like food, but for more gratuitous reasons.
Sasha's got an interesting email here. I want to try to blast through it. There's a lot here. Hi, I'm not sure how relevant hunter motivation is to the broader issue of long-term sustainable management of natural resources. The reality is that hunters and anglers are among the most significant funders of habitat enhancement and conservation projects, both here and abroad. The campaign against trophy hunting is a red herring and a distraction from the true existential threat to coastal ecosystems, which is unbridled industrialization. From fish farming to tanker traffic, guide outfitters and hunters could be strong allies in fighting to protect the environment, but sadly there's no compromise position that would satisfy the more strident anti-hunting groups. What's your reaction to that, Chris?
I agree that there's lots of shared ground between hunters, anglers, and the broader sort of environmental society. Again, hunters and anglers like to espouse an argument that they're big contributors to protection and safeguarding habitat. They are significant contributors, but less than the broader environmental community. There's lots of data to show this.
What about binding together to deal with other threats?
Super wonderful idea, and in fact they have, in the context of fish farming. I think that's a great example. Anglers and environmentalists are certainly teamed up on that. We see less of that in the, terrestrial hunting environment. There is lots of polarization between hunters and environmentalists, and I agree with the following from what that email said, that there ought to be more compromise, more collaboration, and referring to environmentalists as anti-hunters is not an accurate statement. Most environmentalists support the idea of hunting for food.
Want to get one last call in here. Hi, Genevieve. Thanks for calling BC today. Quick thought from you.
Thank you for taking my call. I believe it has to do with feeling that they can conquer a huge carnivore, and if they weren't armed with their rifles and their guide, they'd be trying to outrun Usain Bolt from this predator. So I think they should leave the grizzlies alone unless they want to eat it for food. They need to leave them alone out there in the forest.
Thanks, Genevieve. Chris?
Agreed about grizzly bears, and agreed.
They'd be running fast if they didn't have their guns and their guides.
Indeed, and indeed, it's a bigger signal of achievement if a hunter is able, with all of his technology and guides and whatnot, to bring down a big grizzly. It's a hell of a trophy for people, but people have the broader society has realized and is now vocalizing that the time is over for that in British Columbia.
Chris, what happens this November?
This November? Well, actually, the hunt starts, I believe, September 10th.
Right.
The
ban goes into effect when?
Right, thank you. Okay, the ban goes ahead in November, and it shall be interesting to see how hunters respond, how society responds, and if the government shifts focus of that. We referred briefly at the beginning of the call to the kind of the bizarre regulations, the newly proposed regulations for the interior, where the hunters are now required to bring out grizzly bear meat. We'll see how that all plays out. It's certainly a file that people will be interested in following.
So if they bring out the meat, but they can't bring out the rest of the animal?
They can't bring out the trophy portions, and that in theory, and who knows in practice, reduce the number of grizzly bears taken. I fear that hunters may, as a signal of their protest, or at least the trophy hunters, as a signal of the protest, will kill bears anyways. See-